ESPNFC Daily, Kay Murray, LME here to look back on the England-USA game. And joining us is Come On France, also World Cup winner, and Mark Ogden as well. So goalless in this game. Can we just kick straight off with you, Mark Ogden? Were England lucky to come away with a point in this clash?
I think they absolutely were lucky. I thought the US dominated. I thought every department of the pitch, you know, in midfield, I think Pulisic was excellent tonight. I thought England were really poor. You know, midfield was poor. Harry Kane was anonymous. This was a real surprise. England was so good against Iran, I thought England would win this quite easily tonight. And anything but, England were very lucky to come away with a 0-0 draw.
Frank, let me ask you this specifically. Who just picking up from what Oggy just said regarding the USMNT and how, you know, aggressive they were off the ball, etc. England or USMNT? England or USA? Who's more disappointed with the result? Would you agree with Mark?
I do have to agree with Mark. I mean, that's obvious that we were expecting much more from England, you know, after the first game that we saw. And from really the beginning of the game, you know, till the end, I found a very disciplined American team. Especially when they didn't have the ball, how they tried to put the pressure on the English team, you know, giving the ball to letting Stones and Maguire to pass the ball to each other without creating anything. It was pretty slow from England, and it became quite boring because nothing has been tried, you know, from much more the English side, where the US team did what they had to do. According to the strengths of both teams, you know, you have to accept the fact that the US team did better than the English team because they get the draw. And we all know that England with the best team and with the best shape and the best mentality will have won that game. And it's why it's disappointing from that English side.
You feel as well, guys, and obviously we're going to talk over some of the moments in the game, but right at the end of the game, Luis Miguel, US had a free kick and it was a real wasted opportunity when they could have made something of that, especially at that stage in the game.
Yeah, our producers were saying, Kay, how like there was booing at the end of the game. And I was trying to figure out why, from the English perspective, because it was so dreary, or from the American perspective, because it's like that was a golden opportunity to just put it in the mixer and get a goal for the Americans. Look, I just want to say two things. Number one, massive credit to the USMNT. This is a young side, the youngest at the World Cup. You know, many of them, aside from maybe one, you know, it's their first time truly in such a big game like this against England. And they delivered. Possession doesn't mean control, right? England had the most possession, but the US had the control of this game, specifically in the first half. And England were very Southgate-ish, you know, very timid. Frigid, reactive. He coaches like how he used to defend. I'm sorry. Like, you know, when he was Aston Villa's captain, it was exactly the same thing. I just want to first start with full credit to the USMNT. Well done on getting a point. And you root the chance of really putting your, you know, your shot in that free kick. And when Harry Maguire is your man of the match for England, you know, it's saying a lot about this English team for sure.
So the US men will qualify for the knockout stage of the World Cup if they beat Iran in their final group stage game. A loss would mean they are eliminated. Frank, who were you most disappointed with from England? And I include Gareth Southgate in this.
Well, he would be the first to be targeted for me because you prepare the team, you give the what you want them to do, if you want them to play high on the field, if you want to pressurize the opponent. So you give all the details of the scenario that you want to see being put, and you realize that, I guess, for me, what Southgate asked for his team is to be well organized, but don't take any risk. If we get a draw, it's more than enough for us because we'll have a third game with a lesser team to play against. That's what he thinks. That has to be proven. But for me, from him to some other players, maybe, because I think the level was average. It's a real disappointment because they didn't try to get their chance and get the 6 points and be, at the end of the day, qualified. So, I think Southgate has to be the first to blame.
Yeah, I think Frank, he may be the first to be happy now, right, LME? after the way it went. But you wonder, you were talking about him being Southgate-ish. Our colleague James Ollie actually put a tweet out. He was watching him on the touchline. He said that he was in a lengthy conversation with Steve Holland, needing to make a decision to change it. This is just past the hour mark because things weren't going to plan. So maybe he's come away from that. Phew, we actually managed to come through that with a point. But you had a feeling, you mentioned this Southgate-ish. Was he trying this slow pace? Was he trying to just, I don't know, a bit of a smash and grab and just dreary, and then let's get a goal and that will be enough for us?
I think so. I mean, let's use the comparison to how Brazil dealt with Serbia, right? Because we're talking about the top contenders for this World Cup. Serbia, you know, obviously a little bit more aggressive from a physical standpoint than the USMNT's game plan, especially in the first 45 minutes. But Brazil kept going, kept knocking at the door. Coach Chicha changed some things, and Brazil were trying to be faster. England, on the other side, were slow. Reactive. If something wasn't going one way, they would bring it all the way back to Jordan Pickford. And it's kind of alarming that it takes Gareth Southgate to the 60th minute to be like, oh, hold on a second, Steve Holland, something's not working. You think something's not working? Phil Foden should have started from the get-go in the second half because it just wasn't working. Mason Mount was poor. I'm a big fan, Frank Leboeuf, of Chelsea's Mason Mount, but he was poor today. And I thought he needed to really do a few things. Let me ask you, Frank, Christian Pulisic, I thought he was very good today. You know, a few minor things, but he was very good. What did you make of him?
I'm very happy for him. He had to prove that he had the standard that many people in the U.S. want to give him, the Captain America, and what he has to prove that he plays for Chelsea, so he's one of the rare players, you know, to be able to in America to be able to play in a big team, and he proved that some people had the right to believe in him, and he did what he had to do today. I mean, his shots on the crossbar was absolutely fantastic because he had no space whatsoever to take the shot, and he still managed to do so and to do very well. His composure, you know, his passes, his dribbling, they were very spot on at the right time. He didn't do too much. What he had to do, the moment he had to do the thing. It's what you are expecting from a leader, from the guys who organize everything in the team offensively. And he did his part defensively as well, talking to his teammates as well to make sure they are in the right position. He had nobody has a perfect game, but he had a very good game.
Talking about players that can make a difference, there has been a lot of talk, understandably, about Phil Foden after the final whistle has gone. He created as many chances against the USA as Raheem Sterling, Mason Mount and Harry Kane. Phil Foden did not play. Craig Burley's been a bit annoyed about it as well. He says, has Foden been seen in a Qatari nightclub or something? Craig Berhalter got a lot of heat about not putting Gio Reyna on. He did that in this game later on. Phil Foden, would you have liked to have seen him today, Frank?
Yes, and like every game, you know, and I go with Luis, you know, even if I really love Mason Mount, I think lately with Chelsea and with the national team, he hasn't been the best that he has to be before. I think, of course, it's the coach choice, you know, the player that you put on. But I think right now, I will go with Phil Foden, even on the left side, but I will go with Phil Foden. I mean, he proved during the season and the beginning of the season with Manchester City that he's been an absolutely fantastic player and created so many chances for Man City. And it's not the case for Mason Mount. Maybe he was going to come out better soon. But really, right now, Mason is not at his top. And I think Southgate should think about, for the next game, you know, giving a chance to Foden to play.
Mark Ogden did do a small disappearing act during the broadcast.
He was so fed up, Kay. He was so fed up.
Did you find Phil Foden on your travels, Mark?
No, I'm still looking. I think he's as elusive as the Wi-Fi in Qatar. So we'll get there.
So what do you think the reaction's going to be in England to what we saw tonight then, Mark?
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty negative, which is what we do. You know, this is England win, we're the best team in the world. England don't win and, you know, everything has to change. I think let's find the middle ground. I think Phil Foden, yeah, I'm surprised that he didn't get more, you know, didn't get involved tonight. I think that Phil Foden has to start against Wales. It's a strange situation with England now because the group as it stands, it's going to take something quite remarkable for England not to qualify. So I think England are pretty much there, but they probably need to win to make sure they top the group, because we don't know yet who they might face in round two. It's probably going to be the Dutch, Ecuador or Senegal. Take your pick from those. But it's all about momentum. And I think if England carry on with this team, you know, Harry Kane isn't playing well. Raheem Sterling's not playing well. Saka played poorly tonight. You know, midfield was poor. I think Foden, he's had a great season. You have to bring Foden in. I'm not quite sure there are many others. I wouldn't start Marcus Rashford just yet, but I think Foden has to start, because Foden gives you so much variety and he's got so much pace, and he's just a top player.
He's the closest thing to Paul Gascoigne, K. Murray. And Paul Gascoigne was one of those players that would make that kind of a difference. Euro 96 specifically, I'm thinking of 1990, of course. You need that. When something's not going well from a conventional perspective, you need something unconventional to change it. Jack Grealish is the second closest to that. And look what happened when he came in. He at least gave England a different dimension. Phil Foden can do that from the get-go. Totally agree with the boys. He needs to start from the get-go against Wales.
England will go through unless they lose to Wales by at least 4. Wales have to win. USA against Iran isn't a draw. Wales have to win by at least 4 to qualify. USA can only go through if they beat Iran. Iran only need a draw to qualify unless Wales beat England. You probably, none of that's gone into your heads, but basically,
I'm just writing this down, K. Murray.
So listen, seeing as though Frank Leboeuf is a big supporter of the underdog, you know, we've seen him giving Canada big props before that game, might I add as well, before we saw how brave they were in that game. What's your take on the US then now, Frank, after what we saw? Because they definitely showed a lot of confidence and a lot of spirit.
Well, it's hard because it goes over a field of football. It's a geopolitical game. We all know that. How the players from both sides are going to handle the pressure that they have from their own country, the feeling that they have to go for the pride of their own countries, that's something I don't have the answer to. But definitely, both sides, they have a chance to go through. And it's the team will have the biggest mentality, the biggest will of going through was going to go through. You have to have warriors on the field to make sure you're going to beat Iran or the other way around. I think in terms of talent, in terms of individuals, of course I will go for the US team. Now it has to be proven again and again. Iran won't let it go because of the pride, because everything that we know, because of what we saw in 98, that is possible to beat the US team, they would go for it. It's up to the US men team, national team to prove that what happened to in 98 was an accident, that they are so proud of being American that they want to beat Iran.
Let's get back to a little bit of England talk then, Mark. Do you think, obviously, there was no changes to this lineup from Gareth Southgate and there weren't expected to be? You've just mentioned Foden there. Do you think there'll be any other changes across the park, or do you think there should be, even if you don't think he will do it?
You're muted, my brother.
Alexander Arnold.
There you go.
Ah, good.
The one thing about Alexander Arnold is that, you still there? Can you hear me now, guys?
Yeah,
we can hear you. Okay. Hopefully, Southgate
can
as well.
The thing I know is that obviously, picking defensive, but Wales have no threat to Alexander Arnold as a right back. So he gives England in an attempt. So I bring him in, Foden in, obviously, and then I would rest Harry Kane. Now, Harry's missing games, but he really is not at the moment. He probably needs a break.
Bless you, Frankie.
Thank you, guys.
Well, that was K. Murray. Unfortunately, I think what's happening is Mark Ogden was criticized in England a little bit too much, too close to the England camp, that they needed to freeze his Wi-Fi.
No, but guys, you know, Luis and K, I think it's compulsory for Southgate to change his team. The third game, even if he didn't finish the job today, is the chance for the substitute to play, to keep the shape that they need, and for the guy who normally plays to rest a little bit, because this competition is still long. If you don't do so, you're going to pay the price. I remember it was easy for Jacquet to do so in the World Cup in 98 because we won the first two games. But it did also for the Euro 2000, where we had to play the Netherlands at home because they were hosting the competition, and he put the substitutes. Even if we lost, he allowed the main player to get a rest and to be fresher, let's say, for the rest of the competition.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and we usually do see that, don't we? What do you think, LME?
Yeah, no, I agree. And listen, here's England. It's what we were talking about before, and what you said it, Kay. You said it. It's like I'm very hesitant to add people like, to add any kind of hope leading up to a World Cup, because England at some point are going to let us down, because the mentality is so reactive sometimes, and it's absolutely criminal to have some of these talented players on the bench for a very long period of time. I mean, as we're talking and as Frank was talking, you know, I'm seeing a lot about Frank Leboeuf's old position in Ben White. Like, why wasn't he, situated at any point? I just think it's not good enough. All right, let's do this for a second. Let's begin with you, Frank.
Well, let me just say this then. There's one thing I will say. Harry Maguire in both of the games has actually proved himself
the best player
to be starting for England right now. So even if you are looking at players coming in, and obviously maybe centre-backs are not going to have to worry too much at this stage anyway, but I think that one person who shouldn't be in fear of losing his position at this stage with what we've seen from England in these two games is Harry Maguire, in all fairness to him.
Yeah, what do you think, Frank Leboeuf, former centre-back, World Cup champion?
I'm very pleased to see that. I mean, I never been disappointed by Harry Maguire when he played with the national team. I remember all the competition that he was involved in. It was very good, and it's where I discovered him. In fact, I think it was in 2018 where I said, "Well, that guy," and I guess he was playing in the middle of the park, and I said, "Well, that guy is he's at Leicester and he does well and he's a strong man and his composure is good as well. And I liked the way he played. He lost his football, I would say, a little bit of his football at Manchester United. But today and the game before, he's been spot on. And even offensively, in the first half, he took on some, like, two players on the side, almost offered an assist to, I think it was Saka. He's been everywhere. He's been very good. So that's a plus. And Southgate, well, we have to say something good about Southgate. He's right about picking him up. And well, it was a real question mark. You know, we are talking in the five because of the favorites. And Kay, you know, I would call my favorite the shushu. That Maguire was maybe the shushu of Southgate because he picked him and everybody said, well, that's a scandal. Yeah, but really? Yeah, but it was right to pick him up. It was right to select him because what he's doing right now is great.
Can we select Mark Ogden for one last time? Let's see if he can put in a Harry Maguire performance.
Lucky, Mark Ogden. Lucky.
Here we go.
Last chance,
Mark.
I won't say nice things about Qatar and England. Don't worry about that.
Can you say nice things about Harry Maguire? Because that's what we've just been doing.
I can do. I mean, listen, I've been fairly critical of Harry Maguire this season when he's playing for Man United, but he did play well tonight, and he just looks more confident. He looks more at ease with England. I think he plays for a manager. He knows who trusts him. You know, like Frank says, he is his shoo-shoo player, but when a manager has confidence in him, I imagine that makes a player feel better and plays more relaxed, and, you know, he plays with that confidence that he knows that John Stones alongside him. He's got a relationship with him there. So I think Maguire's done well. I think, you know, and he seems to be getting better with every game he plays. He's bringing the ball out of the bench. There's one moment in the first half which I thought it was Lionel Messi dribbling in the US box and creating a chance, but it didn't come off. But yeah, it's just what comes with confidence and what comes with the manager having belief in you.
Yeah.
What did you think of Harry Kane tonight, Mark?
I thought he was poor. And I was saying before, I was cut off by the thought police that I just think that Harry Kane is not playing anywhere close to his best. I don't think he's fit. So it may be a bold decision, but because England are, you know, they're not going to lose 4-0 to Wales. They're not going to lose 2-0 to Wales. So they're going to go through. So I would take a gamble, rest Harry Kane, give him a week to get fit, just ease him up. And then, yes, it's a risk, but you've got Marcus Rashford, you've got Callum Wilson, you've got players in that squad who can score goals. And then that way, you know, when England play the second round, whoever it's against, you've got a fit and a fresh Harry Kane.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's one of the reasons why, okay, fair enough, if it wasn't Ivan Toney, but why I felt there needed to be somebody else for the England side to just be look a little bit multidimensional. Because when a player like Harry Kane is not working out, then, you know, 80% of your productivity goes out the window. Let's just quickly, Kay Murray, Frank and Mark, just quickly give some more love, though, to where we started with the United States men's national team. This is really a very good performance for them. They frustrated England. They looked better than England. The fact that, you know, they had the best chances. I believe that England didn't concede one corner against Iran. They conceded like 38 today against the Americans.
In a row. It was just, at one point.
Exactly. I thought that the Americans and the USMNT deserve a lot of credit, and Greg Berhalter got them really well organized, especially off the ball. Well done.
Yeah, I really like Tyler Adams, really like Weston McKennie, Matt Turner as well. Great work from him. Frank, which of the US players stood out for you? We've mentioned Pulisic. Anybody else?
I like to give credit to the defense as well. I mean, it did everything to do it. Even if we think that, and Mark in the first place, think that Harry Kane is not at his best, I think they made everything to neutralize the three up front. And we saw how capable they are to disorder a defense, and we saw that the game before. Yes, Sterling wasn't good. Yes, Kane wasn't good. Yes, Saka wasn't good. There may be a reason why. It's not only up to them to be good or not. It's because maybe the four at the back did what they had to do. I found Musa also in the middle of the park was really there, organizing when he had the ball, working hard defensively. I mean, it's a very good collective performance. But I have to say, I will put maybe Musa at front because he had a very good game, I think.
Mark, anyone for the US that stood out for you?
Augie. Muted again, Augie.
There you go.
I think I've got so much noise behind me. I think the host is muted me for good reason. No, I think Pulisic is, you know, Pulisic has been, you know, in and out of Chelsea. He's not been the player at Chelsea that we would be, but tonight he showed real character, responsibility. He led the team tonight. And he was impressive. Like I said, Tyler Adams looked good as well. Just generally, the Americans, every single player had an 8 out of 10 game tonight, and they wanted it more than England. They looked like they had more desire.
Not enough desire from his Wi-Fi connection, though, Kay Murray.
Not tonight, but they did, didn't they? Do you know, I think there was only that moment in the 10th minute when there was some really nice passing from England and Harry Kane's shot got blocked by Walker Zimmerman. When I thought, okay, England are finally going to get into this and we're going to see a bit more of this fluid, fun football that I spoke about after that first game against Iran. But other than that, even if it wasn't so much slick passing or anything, it just felt as though it was going to go the US's way. And unfortunately, they couldn't find the goal, though.
Go ahead, Frank. Yeah.
The thing is, yes, it would have been a big turn if Kane would have scored that goal after that great action that they had. But it would have been, for me, unfair, according to what we saw after, but what we saw before as well. And I think it's Adams as well as kind of the same chance to score, you know, when he put over the top. But the spirit, the pace of the game was all over towards the US team and what they did. I think it would have been a big turn to score for Kane and maybe changed the power and also the mind of both teams, but it would have been unfair for me, according to what we saw before and after. So I'm pleased with the draw because I think the US didn't deserve to lose for sure. It would have been a very big disappointment if England would have lost that game and would have put lots of things in the jeopardy, I would say, if it would have been so.
Kay and Frank, here's another victory, I guess, that can be commended for. The USMNT decided to tweet this. Soccer, shake hands with football, will agree to accept both terms tonight, England.
No. I put on Instagram, I just put something saying that it's important. I know the advertising between David Beckham and the former quarterback, I forgot his name, sorry.
Peyton Manning. Yeah,
Peyton Manning.
Yeah. Peyton Manning. No, lovely, lovely. And I think he has a brother. If I know something, he has a brother as well.
Eli, that's right. Well done.
Yes. And but I think I was told that they only named the game football for American football because the ball is the size of a foot. And I say, well, that's insane. Is that the reason why? That's completely stupid because, I mean, they don't use it. So find me another reason because it doesn't make any sense for me,
It's from association. It's from the word association because it's got the SOC, right?
I hate this
conversation too. Do you know why? Because in Italy, they call it calcio and they call it football in Latin America. And here's my thing about it. Here's my big thing about it. What is in a name? Because a rose by any other name would still smell just as sweet. We love this game. Who cares what you call it?
Preach, Kimberly. Preach.
No, I don't care about the soccer stuff. Let's say we can call it soccer. But I don't like the fact that they think when they talk about football that they put American football first. Yeah, football, okay. The first option, it's football. With the ball, with the feet. And maybe you can call it soccer like the Italian used to, right? They call it calcio, no problem. I have no problem whatsoever with that. You can call it whatever you want, you know. But when you think about football, think about real football, real.
I'm not going to argue with a World Cup champion, Kay Murray. I completely agree.
Who's a World Cup champion? Oh, Frank LeBeuf, of course. I always forget that, you know. I do always forget it. I'm just kidding. We're so proud of our World Cup champion. We love having him here in the US, where soccer is a very nice term to use for the world game.
If you say so.
Anyway, yeah, we're always reminded by the Americans that, well, you called it soccer to begin with, and that's fair enough. But it doesn't matter. When I do hear that one, though, I think, yeah, but they don't call it that now. So that isn't part of the argument. But what I'm saying is, I don't care what you call it. I know Frank does. I don't. We've got predictions coming up for tomorrow. What are you looking at, LME, for tomorrow's games? France against Denmark. Because you're being high on Denmark. And so is Frank LeBeuf, by the way, even though it's against his France side.
Well, he's a smart man, Frank LeBeuf. Not only is he handsome, but he's smart. He agrees with me. Listen, before the competition started, I've been very high on Denmark. I love the way they play. Frank said it earlier. You know, we know what Denmark did already against France previously as well. They're a good team, cohesive. Christian Eriksen is back to feeling good. They have talent and poise all over the pitch. But they didn't play that well in their opening game. And then the France game against Australia was a bit deceiving. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure what to make for this one. I think I'm going to be boring, okay, and call that one a 1-1 draw in that one. Argentina, Mexico, that's going to be an absolute war because they're just going to go at it. Messi and Lionel Scaloni are angry about Saudi Arabia's loss. And then you got Mexico as well, you know, with their result against Poland, and they both need something. So it's going to be, and not forgetting that Mexico is managed by Tata Martino, the Argentinian, who obviously knows that national team very well. I think that's going to be a great game. Lots of imperfect moments and hopefully a lot of goals.
Before you go then, Frank, we won't make you do the France-Denmark one, but do you think that Argentina can bounce back after that defeat?
They have to. They don't have the choice. They have to react, that's for sure. But like Mexico has to react and show a different football. I mean, it's a big nation of football. People over there are crazy about football, like they are in Argentina. As we said, it could be a war, that's for sure. That can be a war. Will it be a good football? I have doubt about that. Lots of mistakes, lots of tackles, lots of pulling shirts and everything. That's what I see. Kind of dirty football. How's going to be the ref? I don't see it. Who's going to be the winner? I don't have a clue. We are making a big deal because that's a decisive game. And most of the time, right now, nowadays, when we have a big game, we're quite disappointed. So I'm not saying anything. I see another draw. I see a draw like I see with France.
All right. Well, we'll let you go, Frank. Thank you so much for being with us. It's always great to have you on here at ESPN FC. And we'll be speaking to you again soon. That is World Cup winner
bye-bye.
Frank LeBeuf joining us
bye-bye.
There.
Au revoir, Frank LeBeuf.
Luis, let me just quickly say au revoir. let me just quickly say this to you. You know how you have curiosidades in like a lot of games where they show you the little curiosities? I thought there were some funny ones in this game. So one of them was, you'll have seen Weston McKennie asking to wipe his hands on the photographer's bib. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that. That's a good one.
Like, yeah, sure. So he did that. And I was like, oh, that is mom life just personified. I'm so used to the little ones just like wiping their hands on me. And the other one was Harry. There was one point on the feed that I was watching where Harry Maguire got close to the crowd and one of them just shouted, "You suck!" And he's got something, the real American accent, like, "You suck! Why don't you score an old goal for us?" It was something like that. That was one of the
"You
funny
suck,
moments
there. Harry Maguire! Yeah. You suck, man!" Poor Harry.
Poor so, Harry. Yeah. Maybe we can look out for a few more of those in the games, because that was one of my favorite things about covering the game in Spain when I did, for the years that I did, was when they would pick out moments, like what the eye didn't see. All those moments I always love to see. So all of you watching, if you see any of those moments that you think we may have missed, let us know, because we'd love to hear about those.
I love that. Let's do a segment on that. All our producers should be on note. Curiosidades. Let's just little tiny things in every game that we may not have noticed at first glance. I love it, Kay.
All right. Are you done then, Luis? Are you happy
I
to
think
call
we're
it
finished, Kay? Yeah, I'm knackered, all right, man. Like, Thanksgiving, Friday, you got the kids running about. It's too much.
It is too much. But you know what? We love it. And we'll be doing it all over again tomorrow. So make sure you check out the YouTube feed and our Twitter feeds for when we're going to be live after the game. As soon as that final whistle's gone, come right here to ESPN FC Daily for all the reaction.